Welcome back to the Solid Foundations podcast. Today I'm your host, Gilbert Regalado, and I have my wife, my co-founder, and head coach of women's jiu-jitsu, Crystal Regalado, joining me. And today we want to talk about not only jiu-jitsu, but more of our women's jiu-jitsu program and the difference that it, not the difference, but all the advantages there are to a women's program for women compared to having to train in a co-ed facility.
Okay.
And I know you and I, we did a podcast, you know, I was checking the date, and it was back in 2019 when we first did our podcast together as podcast number two. And that one goes into depth of your relationship with the father of your children, the abuse you went through, and how jiu-jitsu really helped you get out of that situation and build confidence from then on. And so to get that backstory, go ahead and visit episode number two. But now in this episode, if you could just give us a brief summary of that situation, maybe of kind of what your mentality was like before you started training, and why you let yourself get treated the way you did going into training, and then how that changed it.
Okay. So that's not a brief answer or brief question. Mm-hmm. So I was with my son's dad for, I don't even remember, but prior, I was with him since I was like 13 or 14. The physical abuse didn't start until I was 19. I had just graduated high school. So I was already in love with this guy. I was really head over heels in love with this guy. So when he hit me for the first time, it was shock. It was a lot of emotions running through me. And so I know that I wasn't training at that time. I know that there was a lot of times when that was happening where in my head, I was like, I'm going to die. He's going to kill me. I'm going to die. My son's not going to have a mom. All these things were literally like fear in me that as it was happening, cause there was multiple times where it happened where it wasn't just a slap. It was like an intense, like few minutes of him beating on me. And so those thoughts were in my head, and I really felt like I was gonna die. I knew of jiu-jitsu through my brothers. And so I went to go pick up my brother one day, and the owner from Gia invited me onto the mat. And I liked it. I thought it was nice. I thought it was like a good workout. And then the more I started doing it, I was like, holy, this is gonna help me. Like, I never planned to leave my baby's dad. I just planned to survive, you know? And then the confidence that I got from that made me leave him. And there's a lot more backstory to that, especially like my brothers knowing jiu-jitsu, like why I didn't tell them. Because that's always that question, how come your brother didn't do anything about it? He didn't know. Go listen to the episode. There's more information on that, and there's a lot of emotion to unpack on that. So yeah, what was the other question? That's the like how I started jiu-jitsu.
And the other part of it was just your confidence growing from there. But
yeah,
for detail, you said you were with them from like 13 to 14. At what point did you have Joe?
I had my son at 15. I got pregnant at 14, had him at 15.
And then the abuse started at what age?
When I had just graduated high school. I think I was 18. I may have been 19 because I was okay. Like at beauty school already.
And then so Joe was already,
it was like
three or 4 years old if it happened at 19. Yeah. And I'm at 15.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you started training to where you finally said enough is enough, how long, and did something to now stop, put a stop to it, how long was that span?
Honestly, I was still in beauty school? No, I was out of beauty school. I don't really remember how long I was training for. I was still a white belt. I know that. And the reason why I never used it prior to that moment was because he was in jail. So I had all this time to like train, and went in the beginning of my up until like I was a brown belt, I was training twice a day, sometimes three times a day. Like I was training every day. So I had a lot of training under me in just a matter of like 6 months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't use it on him until he got out. And I knew like, okay, like there, I'm not going to be hit like that again.
So in a matter of 6 months, you say a matter of 6 months, right?
I believe it was around 6 months, yeah.
And so that's what it took, not only for you to gain the knowledge, the skill mm-hmm. to defend yourself, but more importantly, the mindset to say, I'm not going to ever let that happen to me again.
Yes.
And was the, I'm never going to let that happen to me again, in your mind, was it because I'm going to kick this dude's ass because of what I know now? Or simply because jiu-jitsu gave you self-confidence, self-worth, and you're like, even if he does try to kill me, like, whatever happens, happens. Yeah. I'm not going to lay down and be a victim anymore.
Well, knowing jiu-jitsu after those certain amount of time, like, after that amount of time, and then being around that community, like, I'm like, he doesn't know how to fight. Like, I'm, like, scared of this guy that doesn't even know how to fight. Mm-hmm. And so
So it's kind of like an old school reference, but people our age should know, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? Where they're all scared and they're on this journey of being so scared, and they finally open up the curtain and it's this small little weak dude that they've been scared of all along.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what jiu-jitsu did for you. It kind of opened your eyes to a different world to know, like, no, this is actually what people who know how to fight can do.
Yeah. And then here's this guy.
And here's, yeah, this is what I've been afraid of this whole time, which I don't need to be.
Yeah, like I said, I never planned to leave him. I never planned at all. I just knew that I'm not going to die. I know that, like, at least I could fight back. Like, I always had my mouth that could, like, talk shit. But there was totally times where I just stay quiet because I was so scared. I'm like, oh, my God, just don't make things worse. Like, shut up. Like, those were the things that I was telling myself. And so, like, thinking back, like, I knew that I was going to use jiu-jitsu to survive. But it wasn't to, like, I thought we would just have our scrap, like, our little fights. And then we'd go back to normal, you know, and then have our little fights, but I'd survive them, you know. But it was that first fight that it was like a brawl, and it was something that I feel 100% it was because of jiu-jitsu and what jiu-jitsu did, the community did for me, that I was like, hell no, I'm not going back to this. And that's when I, like, out of all of our breakups that we've had, that was done.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So your mindset was still, well, we'll still be together. I'll just be able to throw blows back with them, yeah. or he's going to get me and I'll get him. Mm-hmm. And then we'll kiss and make up after and go along. But it wasn't until you took what you learned and put it into action is where the real lesson set in of self-worth. It's like it was waiting there, but you had to put it to the test.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's, I don't think I learned that part last time to where you're like, just thinking it was normal. Hey, well, now when we fight, I can fight back.
Yeah.
And then we'll just continue on.
Well, if you listen to the episode, there is a part where I say I wasn't planning on leaving. Mm-hmm. But it is like, if you really go into debt of like someone's mindset going through that, and when you're hearing about someone being hit by their loved one or whatnot, and it's always like, why don't they leave? And that's just such an ignorant, like, you just don't. If it was that easy, everybody that was abused would do it. But it's not. It's just you see it either growing up or you know, like, you feel like you can't. There's certain things emotionally or physically, or whether it's money, it's this, it's that, like, I have nowhere to go, or I want, you know, there's so many different things to that. Like, there's so many different reasons to that. So yeah, like, in my mind, I didn't plan to leave at all.
Mm-hmm. And so give us a walkthrough of exactly what jiu-jitsu, if you could remember, that you actually applied just so, you know, the listeners can get a grasp and kind of put themselves in that, of that time of what was happening. Like you say, oh, I use jujitsu. To somebody who doesn't train, they'll be like, oh, she used jujitsu and it worked. Yeah. Well, to somebody who trains, they're probably interested, okay, well, what exactly did you use? Yeah.
So a lot of fights end up on the floor. In my case, it ended up on the bed. And I know exactly what I used. I used an arm bar, and I did an arm bar and then it stopped. It was the first time that I actually got that submission on him, and he was begging me to let him go. Like, let me go, bitch, da, 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 you know? And I was like, oh shit. And, I let him go thinking he was going to just stop, but no, it kept going. And this is all happening on, like, so in the room that we were at, there was two beds. So it was like, it would go from one bed to the other bed, to the wall, to the floor, to the little space that we had. So it was all over the place. I was bleeding. He was bleeding. But yeah, I did an arm bar, and then I don't even remember the exact play by play, but I remember doing an arm bar, and that was the main thing. And I kept doing an arm bar. Like, I didn't know that much, you know?
And he's trying to swing on you, or he's trying to, like, wrestle you with what he knows?
He's swinging and wrestling. Like, when he used to hit me, it was fists, slaps, hair pulls.
And so as he's swinging on you, you're shooting double legs, or you're trying to
close the distance?
And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's, like, trying to mount and punch?
Yeah.
And then you're able to sweep or go for the arm bar from the bottom?
Like, twist my hips around, throw my leg over, and...
Yeah. There's no way you ever saw that coming.
No. No.
Do you think that has something to do with your mind saying, like, oh, I don't want to be with this person, where you literally have him in an arm bar and he's begging you to let him go, to where I'm sure you had seen him in one light as some tough guy that you loved, and to now you have him in an arm bar and that tough guy is now acting like a little bitch?
I mean, it was more about me. Uh-huh. It was more about me seeing myself able to, like I said, like, back, and it still sucks because it's like, I feel so sorry for that Crystal, you know? I'm like, I thought I was going to die. Like, mm-hmm. I legit thought I was going to die. Fuck, I didn't think I was going to cry.
All right.
But it was like, I'm not going to die. So... it was that moment where I'm like, I'm not gonna ever put myself in that position where I'm gonna ever feel like that again, you know. So it was just that I felt like empowered. I felt like I stood up, and I was like, I felt stronger than anything, you know. So I was like the end of a movie scene, you know. That's how I felt, and I was like, why would I want to go back to that? Like, I don't ever want to fight him again. I don't ever want to do that shit again, you know. So. It was, yeah.
So it sounds like you were exposed to a new you.
Yeah.
And there was no going back.
And she did the work to do that. Like, yeah. And, I mean, that's still something I'm trying to learn, is I have something in me that I'm not going to ever let a man treat me that way or talk to me that way. So, I mean, work in progress. But that's why.
From there, was there a, like... I wouldn't say new, but maybe a even more fired up passion for jiu-jitsu? Or did that, your training tempo, train at all?
I mean, I was still training a lot. But after that, it was more like for fun. Like, it was, you know, just training to learn jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, it wasn't like, okay, now, like, I was really interested in certain positions and, like, someone being mounted on me, someone in between my legs. And so after that, I just learned jiu-jitsu.
And you've stayed at, you know, our academy that we still train to this day, from white belt to your black belt. 8 years now, correct?
Yeah, so I've had my black belt for 8 years.
And so when you walk in your first beginning days of training, what's the male to female ratio on the mats?
Most classes, I'm the only girl. There's sometimes sprinkled one or two. But for the most part, yeah, I'm the only girl.
Was there, especially like with your background coming from going through what you just explained, was there any hesitation to train with men?
No, the only reason was because I had my brother. Because my brother was there, I felt comfortable. Like, because people knew me as his little sister, they would always try to, like, teach me something. And so, like, they'd mount me, so I never looked at it that way. And I never, thankfully, gone through, like, any kind of assault where another person was on top of me like that prior mm-hmm. to that. So I never had that, like, trigger thing. But I was comfortable because it was, like, I'm mounting my brother. And I've wrestled, that's the thing, I've wrestled my brother before, I've been comfortable. So I think that's what's kind of different with me, because I knew someone personally.
And so no problem training with guys from the start?
No.
And then as years go on and you're mm-hmm. getting promoted through your bout levels, does the ratio ever change dramatically, or is it always like 99% to one, you're the 1% woman on the mat, 1 to 2%?
Yeah, 1 to 2%. I mean, there are more women signed up for jiu-jitsu. Like, I do see some, like, white belts kind of sprinkled in. And we've had, like, our certain women, like have gone through the ranks. But they all move. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we had a brown belt. We had a purple belt. They all moved. I think, I don't even know if we have blue belts there. I mean, I've never trained with them. Or they stayed to their little group, but... Yeah, the classes that I go to, it's really rare. Sometimes I'll see a couple white belts sprinkled in.
But for the most part, it's a male dominated.
Yes.
And that's probably not just to our academy, right? That's still kind of the majority of it. Jiu-Jitsu's still got so much popularity, growth room, but it is mm-hmm. getting more popular and popular as the years are going on.
Yes.
And we are starting to see more women training, maybe not necessarily at the academy, at Paragon, where we train, but just all over. You look and you see there's more and more women join us, which is great. You know, I am very thankful because of you. My daughter and your stepdaughters, they train jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. and they train at their academy, and they train here. And so that's something I'm very thankful for with you. Also for getting me involved with it. You were a black belt before I started training. As well, just like you've told me before, your brother was a black belt before you even started training. And so it's been a great thing to have in our family, and that's why I'm passionate about not only teaching kids, but also when we started the program, we knew that you wanted to teach women.
Yeah.
And so in our Solid Foundations program, we have a women's only jiu-jitsu program.
Yes.
And so from day one, in your early years into Paragon training, how does Solid Women's Group Women's Jiu-Jitsu differ from your regular co-ed class at another academy?
Because all women. It's a different vibe. Like, we get to throw in our women jokes. It's just different. Like, I try to, like, because I do have a good time with the guys. They're like the big brothers, right? But it's different when you're with your, this is going to be controversial, but when you're with your same sex, like, you're able to, like, throw these jokes and, like, I want to say some of these jokes, but they're probably inappropriate. But it's just, like, that, it's just a good time. Like, we're able to joke around, we're able to, like, be ourselves, and, you know, like, someone hits our boob, we could say something like that. Someone hits, you know, our vagina, we could say something like that, or like joke about it. Like, it's kind of weird if a guy fucking hits your vagina and jokes about it, like, unless you're fucking Weird Andy. Like, it's just like, probably not, you're probably taking it too far. But with our women's classes, those are kind of the things that are different.
So a lot of girl talk is going on that probably usually men aren't around or accustomed to.
And ego. Uh-huh. I gotta say, ego. So with my class, I'm not sure about any other classes because it's pretty rare where I can join a women's only. I don't think I've ever... I know that there's some out there, but I've never tried it. But with my class, I make it a point to, like, ego is not welcome here. If you get upset or whatnot, like, I always, like, talk to them. I always, like, explain, like, where their ego is going to get them, mm-hmm. you know? And then sometimes I'm like, okay, you want to have ego with her because she just started or whatnot. Like, you could roll with me. You could roll with Laura. And then that just stops. But it's also, like, we don't know what another woman has gone through. So we kind of have that empathy for them. Like, there's some women that, like, have a really hard time. Some, I have a few that, like, have gotten, like, anxiety attacks with someone, like, on top of them mounted. So, like, we know that us as a team will help them, like, okay, well, I'm gonna stay on top of you, like, I'm gonna, and they're just helping them feel comfortable in an uncomfortable position. So it's like, we're all a team, we all help each other. Even if you're just day one, like, someone had a hard time doing front rolls, they all clapped. You know, it just, little things like that, that I don't ever see in a co-ed class. Mm-hmm. It's just the tiny little details that make a huge difference.
Yeah, and do you have to switch your mindset at all from, okay, I'm going to go train here at Paragon compared to when you're, I know you're coaching here a lot, but then you go into role with your ladies at the end. Is there, like, a big mind shift for you that you're aware of that you're like, okay, I gotta be coach mode compared to student mode?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're coming to me for answers with their questions. So, yeah, there is definitely. And when I'm in someone else's class, like, I love being in a dom's classes or my brother's classes. And, yeah, they're black belts and I'm a black belt, but that's a whole different level. They're, mm-hmm. like, elite black belts. They're just on a whole different level. So I'm able to be a student again and, like, ask, you know, very technical questions. So it is a little different.
Yeah, and I ask because I found out through trying to coaching, you know, through the kids program, and we even had did co-ed for a little bit, but that I absolutely did not like coaching, and I kept it going for the kids for a long time just because I'm passionate about them being introduced to jiu-jitsu. But I found out for me, jiu-jitsu is like my escape to just be a student.
Yeah,
you know, and that's all I want to do is just learn it. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough to get a coach in here and start teaching the kids wrestling, so they're still learning grappling. And so that's why I was curious about you, because I know it was like a relief for me, because now I get to have jiu-jitsu just for me again.
Yeah.
And I was curious if you struggle with that at all.
No, I love coaching. Like, I know I was really nervous in the beginning, but I love it. Like, I feel like I'm a good coach, mm-hmm. not to, like, toot, but I do. Like, that's why I'm going on since 2018, and that my classes are growing. I feel like I put in the work to learn, and it's not just me going and just teaching and telling people. Like, I'm actually rolling myself. I'm rolling with them. Most of the time I'm doing co-ed, you know, so it's, I love it. I really, really like it.
And you're many years in now. Now, if you look at your students who you have now, who you've been coaching, compared to who you thought you would be coaching when we first started the program, how different is that compared to what you thought it would be?
So, I kind of started a women's only jiu-jitsu because I kind of aimed it towards domestic violence victims, and that, as much as I try to do free seminars, I try to do, like, invite them to class, and, like, that's where the nonprofit, I'm like, I'll figure out a way to, like, come up with funds to, like, have them train, you know? But they want nothing to do with jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. They wanted nothing to do with self-defense, and for their own reasons, and there was a few different reasons for that. So I kind of, like, came, when we talked, I was like, so this was why I wanted to train, but it's also who they would become that I really wanted to help, you know. But at the same time, it's not just like to get, it's to prevent future whatever altercation that they can find themselves. So it's mainly like a group of women that we can all have a good time learning what I love. I love jujitsu in itself. If I didn't have it for like self-defense or whatnot, I love jujitsu. But now it's like so that my women that are in my class can prevent and, you know, with this sick ass world, like we have to have skills under our belt. We can't, you know, rely on like how, you know, we can't rely on anybody because in this world, they're going to fucking pull out their phones first before they go out and help you, you know, because it's just the world we live in.
So we went from thinking that the program was going to be set up for domestic violence survivors or women that may be even in abusive relationships to empower them to get out of it.
Yeah.
But what it ended up turning into be was almost like a, you know, like a girls group, a women's group of, hey, I'm going to use this for fitness. Hey, I'm going to use this to relieve stress. A lot of it is, hey, this is my chance to get out of the house and have girl time and just be with other women, other like-minded women who are actually all come, who push each other to grow.
Yeah.
But they also know that we're having a good time here.
Yeah.
You know, and no one's going to mess that up. And we have our facility where we have our offices. So we're whenever I'm working in the offices and classes are going on because they go on in the evening, a lot of times it's hard to decipher if you guys are training or having a party over there. Right. So that's how the...
I love that.
That's something that we don't really have. I love my academy and it's great for me because I don't want to be having like some crazy party. I want to get hard training, right? Jealousy. Hard training.
We do but, hard training.
Though. No. But I'm saying that's all over there is like, because we have great, blessed at Paragon to have the training partners we do. And they stay and they talk. It's just been such a great community to have. But never are you ever going to be walking around and saying, is there a party going on over there? So that's what I just want to give you props because obviously you hold that space for women to come. And it's developed into something that we didn't expect, but it's evolved into this great thing to where women are signing up and messaging with questions about, hey, I see you guys go out together. I want to get involved. It's not even about the training. Not even I want to learn jujitsu. Like they want to be a part of the women's, just the group, you know?
Yeah.
So can you go into a little bit of detail of what's going on with the women's group off of the mats?
Yeah, so we have a great group of women. I mean, even when either they're hurt or you know, something else is going on, they're like, oh, I'm going to go in for like just 30 minutes. Or I'm going to go in for like, we have someone like, they ended up getting surgery, but she still shows up just to hang out, you know? Yeah. So we love that. We have at least we're trying to do, and this is like, I did this one time and then now they're like, oh, we should do this and we should do that. So I did an event one time, where we did like a girls' night out, you know, and then they had such a good time. So now they have like a list of things that they want to do together. One of the girls called me out. She's like, I saw you guys on Instagram, like getting together. Now that I signed up, when's the next one? Like, when are you guys doing one? So we're actually doing one this Saturday. Nights and Shots. I will post on it. I'll put on our stories on what exactly that is. But it's a game night. It's girls night. Like we get together. We have as soon as you sign up, we have a group message. And we throw memes out there. They want to redo some reels. It's just a good time. Sometimes we're like, hey, let's all wear green today. Or hey, let's all wear camo. You know, so it's fun, you know, it's just a good time.
Yeah, and I know the majority of people, me included, when it comes to just wanting to make time to work out for your health, and when let's say it's the gym where you're going to go lift or do cardio, you have to force yourself to go to the gym sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you walk through the doors. Well, you still now got to force yourself to do the workout as well. And what I've always liked about jujitsu is that I still get that. Like, I don't feel like working out. But all I got to do is walk through those doors and my training partners and my coaches make me need to work. I don't got to push myself anymore. Mm-hmm. And so is that, do you feel the same way with that? And do you think women in the group feel that way as well?
Yeah. I mean, they get a great workout. They're drenched at the end of our workout. And I do.
Yeah. Cause I mean, unless I'm in the sauna, I'm not sweating like, you know, jiu-jitsu makes you sweat. And it's hard to push yourself to that extreme. And women, a lot of women may miss out on that because, you know, they're not runners, they're not cyclists. They haven't found their thing to really, really push them.
Yeah.
But the women's jiu-jitsu program is a great opportunity for them to get that exertion and not have to be the one pushing themselves.
Yeah, I feel like women's jiu-jitsu, my women's jiu-jitsu class, it has multiple bullet points. Like, you're surrounded by like-minded women. Like, if you want to sit and like dwell on something negative, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, you're right, you should feel this way. No, they're like uplifting you, like, okay, well, what, you know, like, it's just a different community of women. And then it's also a great workout. You're going to be drenched, you're going to be sore. People that have tried it for the first day messaged me like, I'm in sore in places I didn't even know could get sore, you know? So It is like, it is a good workout and it's a good time. And you're laughing, you know, like, it's pretty rare when you're not laughing in class. Like you said, like, you walk around, like, you walk towards the back and you hear us laughing. Yeah. Cause.
And you got the music going too.
And we got the music going. Yeah. We're dancing. Like, there's different like things happening. So yeah, it's a great time. Multiple benefits.
Yeah, it's a solid one. And I'm on the outside, so I'm not on the inside, but I can hear inside jokes going on.
Yeah.
You guys cracking up at your own inside jokes.
Yeah, it was funny.
So we're in agreement. We know it's a great workout.
Yes.
What can jiu-jitsu do for a mother?
What can jiu-jitsu do for you? Mm-hmm. For a mother, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, whether you have kids or you don't have kids. But yes, when you have kids, there's definitely added stress, and it's jiu-jitsu is therapy. It is a place where you could just let it all out. Mm-hmm. You feel good at the end. And it's also like, when your kids become teenagers suck sometimes, you know, there's that side of them, you know? So it could, I've had to, like, I have a son, and when he was a teenager, I've had to use jiu-jitsu to, like, whether I needed to keep him with me. I know how to hold my son down if I needed to. My son was 230 pounds and taller than me, and I was able to hold him down, and this was for his safety, and I was able to do that. It's just I don't know. It's hard to really explain on that one, but there's multiple benefits as a mother. And then them seeing you, like, them seeing who you are, who you become. My son had to see, like, I want to say like a month ago, some guy was on his little high horse and kind of shut it down. And I didn't let my son, like, I didn't, like, it was so out of, it was my sister, my son, and then this guy. And my son was like, damn, you know, like, just him being proud. Like, I don't know. There's multiple benefits of being a mom.
You were there and you shut down the situation?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I think, like, if I was, you know, Crystal from back then, I would have been like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then
I think it's only is gonna strengthen the relationship between you and your teenage kids if they look at you as a badass.
Yeah,
you know,
he does.
And because it's so easy for those young men and women that go from kids to teens to think they know it all, to think they're the toughest thing on earth. Mm-hmm. And when they have a parent that can check them, especially without hurting them, but it's like, here, I'm gonna hold you down till you calm down, and you ain't gonna do a damn thing about it. Like, that is big, especially for a teenage boy to be getting handled like that by his mother, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't use it out of anger and violence. That's also something big. Like, you're in control.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too much details about it because if ever my son wants to tell his story, you know, that's on him, but it was for his safety, you know. So and I was blessed to know the skills that I do.
No, for sure. And what my point is that it's helped you be calm and what could have very well been an out of control emotional event. And I'm not talking about one specific event.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about when you have teens, there's a lot of emotions going on, you know, I had four teens myself plus godchildren, and you helped me raise a lot of them during those times, and we had them all together, so we all know about all those emotions. And I could say from my part, there's a good part of our kids were males, and it was never a challenge. It wasn't even ever a thought, but I think it was more because of our training and just how we carry ourselves as people, you know. And so with parenting, I just wanted to get the point across for moms to understand that it's not just about being like, oh, well, I don't got time for, because they may make an excuse of, I just don't got time to exercise. I got to be a mother. It's like, no, this is going to help you be a mother. It's going to help you be a better mother in all aspects. We're not just the physical, but mentally.
Yeah.
And you are also, you know, if they don't know, you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You're not only a hairstylist veteran for many years, you're a business owner and hair salon owner. Can you yourself see how lessons from the mat has translated over to the business world for you?
I mean, I think this is like it in whatever situation that you find yourself in as a woman, confronted by a man, like you just feel confident. Like I have a few stylists at my shop, and a homeless guy came in, and you could tell he was not all there in the head. He was spewing like, God made me come in here. And there was just, she was scared. She was scared. And so I was able to like calmly get him out. But I knew that like, if he were to try anything, like I'm pretty confident that I would know what to do. And my other stylists were thinking of switching chairs, but she's like, oh, but I like being behind you. Like if anybody walks in, you know, like I like to be behind you. So like that felt good. You know, that feels good to be able to provide that for them, whether I'm just a stylist or the owner, you know, or their boss.
What about within the shop, you know, whether it's customers or employees, can you see anything that has translated from the mat to being able to be a good owner / boss? I'll give an example. Like for me, I built a business from myself to probably got about to 15, 20 people. And with all these different type of personality points, and people have their wants and people have their needs, you got to have this level of calmness and stress and be able to handle situations on the fly, which I can say, you know, jiu-jitsu helped me a lot handle those things. And I know you have, at any point in time, you got three chairs going in there. You have multiple stylists, you have clients in the chairs and sometimes waiting to come in. So I could imagine some situations arise where you're either going to have to take control of it or de-escalate a situation. So I was just curious if anything stood out to you.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a few times where I've had to. And I think what it's giving me is like, the confidence to not freak out. Like my heart doesn't start racing and I don't get like palm sweaty or get nervous. Like I just know that I can handle it. I try to use words, you know, like I don't automatically want to fight anymore. Like I always wanted to fight. I always wanted to like show who I really was by like my physically fight. Now I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do. You know, like if I want to fight, I can go to a gym and like actually fight with people that are not street fighters, you know. But yeah, it's giving me that like relaxation, that patience, that like, okay, let's just handle it one, you know, one move at a time, you know. And then, yeah, I feel like that has a lot to do with what jiu-jitsu's provided for me.
And so, you know, we've covered motherhood, We've covered business. We've covered abusive relationships. What other walks of life have you ran into on the mats that you're like, I would have never expected you to come on the mat training, but they just fit right, end up fitting right in, not only on a personable level, but actual skill level as well?
I mean, so many different walks of life. Actually, my elementary school bully, I had the pleasure of mopping him up. He came in one time, and I probably was already a black belt by the time he came in to train. And then at the age that we were at, we kind of like were friends. We joke around. But it was kind of nice to like just, you know, tap him like minute after minute after minute, seconds after seconds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's different walks of life, but I feel like that one.
What about women, though? Women in general, yeah. Because I want women out there to be like, oh, well, that's cool for moms. That's cool for business people. I understand why somebody in an abusive relationship would need or be interested in that. But maybe they're going to be surprised themselves if they come, just give it a try. So that's why I'm asking, who do you know who has come on the mat that you would have never have thought would have fit in with the jiu-jitsu crowd, but they end up fitting right in?
One of my girls that I promoted for the first time, I've only had one belt promotion, and she is really quiet. She's tiny. Mm-hmm. She's very, she gets, you know, anxiety a lot, and she never wants to offend anybody. And so seeing her doing, like, starting jiu-jitsu, I was welcoming it, but I never thought I would see her succeed as much as I've seen her succeed. She ended up moving, but even her first tournament, she was really nervous, really freaking nervous, and she ended up getting, I think, second, and she just did so well. And even on one of the matches, she had the armbar, and I could see she was gonna let it go. I was like, "Don't you let that shit go!" And she looked at me, she's like, "Oh." And even at the end, she's like, "I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry."
Yeah, and that's a great example, because I don't want women out there to be like, "Well, I like who I am, and I don't want to be turn into this violent, angry person where they might think that's what you got to be on the mat." It's like, that's a great example to where she just had this newfound skill and level of confidence.
Yeah.
But she was still the sweetheart that she was when she came in.
And she was such a badass on the mat. It's like, she'd be like, "Oh, you want to roll? Okay." And then you're just like, "Holy shit." You know, like, she even gave me, I questioned, I was like, "Holy shit. Okay. I can't just play with her." You know, she knows sweeps really well. She's a tiny little thing. She'll sweep the shit out of you, you know, and like arm bar. It like blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times those quiet ones make the best students.
Yeah.
Because they're busy soaking it in. So, we covered a lot of bases.
Yes.
And I think we covered a good amount.
I think so.
How about some, how about the info? What's the class schedule like on days, hours, and how does somebody get involved if they're interested?
So you could DM, I don't know where you're posting this, I'm sure it's going to be Instagram too, but you can email gilbert@sbsolid.org, right? sbsolid.org, your name and your email, and we'll send you a consent form. And classes are Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 6 p.m., and they run about an hour and a half. And sometimes we'll have Saturday gi classes, but for the most part, they're no gi, which is just like regular clothes, ish. And that's about it. Yeah. You get a free week. You get Monday, Wednesday, Friday for free. Just try it out. If it's for you, great. I'm always telling the girls, like, try different gyms. I'm always encouraging, try different gyms. See if our gym is right for you. Currently, I think there's only one that has maybe a Saturday, like, women's only class. I believe we are the only Santa Barbara gym that actually has women in their women's only class. So
coach,
try it out.
Yeah, coaches and students.
I'm the only coach. Yeah. Yeah. So all these women classes, they're either men coaching. I just feel like you just need a woman, you know.
Yeah. Well, you also got Laura to help coaching as well.
Yeah, right? I do have Laura that helps tremendously.
And there's a couple of things that I want to add to that is It's completely free, a free week.
Free week.
You don't have to invest in anything. Like you said, it's some leggings and a workout shirt to come roll.
Yes.
Or to come learn and roll if you want. You don't have to. You can just do the lessons.
Yes.
When you email me, you give me your name, your number, and your email. I need this to enter it in to send you a consent form. I get so many messages asking, hey, I'm interested. I would like to start a free week. And I reply, give me your name, number, and email. And then it goes dark. Just like they think that we're going to,
I mean, at the same time,
we're going to put them in some big email marketing thing or something. That's not the case. If we send you a DocuSign so you can sign it online. And for that DocuSign, I need to enter it in into it. And then I'll have your info so I'll be able to follow up. And
I prep you too. Like as soon as that part is done, then you get an email from me and I literally walk you through like where we're located at, because we are in an industrial area. So it kind of be tricky of how to get to us. I give you parking information, what to bring, what to wear, and then a breakdown of the class times too, just in case you forget. But yeah, and I give you my number, like text me or call me if you get lost. So it's, yeah. And the girls welcome you. You know, mm-hmm. We got to welcome your name, you know, like they're excited and they're so helpful. All the women are so helpful.
Yeah. All right. That about sums it up. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.